This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make it through. Maybe I'm too good for you. Oh, do you believe in life after life?
Oh, yeah. It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Look, Believe by Cher.
Hey.
It's a jam. That song's always good, man.
All I know is Cher was great in Mask.
She was great in Mask. Was she in Moonlighting, too? Was that Cher?
Mask is the only one I remember seeing her in.
Oh, I think she was in the Moonlighting.
Okay.
I think she was. Yeah.
You can keep looking at me. I got nothing.
Cher had a moment.
Mask is an 80s movie. We know you haven't seen it.
Is that the Jim Carrey movie?
No, that's The Mask.
The Mask.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they should have picked a different title.
Oh, wow. I thought you were talking about The Mask, too.
Yeah. No.
I forgot you were even there, Elliot.
Yes, yeah.
I know, me too.
What the hell?
It's Tuesdays with Elliot. I think the movie Mask was probably 86, something like that.
Yeah.
Right, that mid-80s. Mm-hmm. It is Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot is at the NFL Draft Combine in Indianapolis. And, you know, just to finish up on the Myles Garrett and free agency thing before we get to Joe Shane and your moment in the sun on the Sixers, is what do you think? Is there, so I keep, the Eagles have a bunch of free agents. The four that I think everyone seems to be focused on, and rightly so, are Zach Bond, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Mekhi Becton. Do you think there is a world in which they keep all four of those players?
No. I think there's a 0% chance they keep all four players.
I think
Josh Sweat's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Josh Sweat's definitely gone. I mean, Jeffrey Lurie said after they won the Super Bowl in New Orleans that essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, they're expecting to get comp picks in the draft next year, and you only get those comp picks by players leaving in free agency and then not signing players in free agency. So they, I think, are expecting Josh Sweat to get a big deal, which will net them a comp pick. I think they're expecting Milton Williams to get a big deal, which will probably net them a comp pick. And then I think Becton and Bond are the ones where the market will really dictate whether or not they stay. But I think Sweat's definitely gone.
I think it's, to me, that, but you hearing, think, you saying that Milton Williams is definitely, you think, is almost certainly gone, and Josh Sweat is almost certainly gone, just brings me back to Myles Garrett. I can't even imagine the defensive line without those two guys. Milton Williams was awesome this year. Josh Sweat would have been the Super Bowl MVP if it wasn't for that pass to Devontae Smith, really, in the second half. I mean, probably.
Underthrown.
Oh, Cooper DeJean.
No, it would have been Josh Sweat. Come on. I don't know. I think that's losing a lot, losing those two guys.
Who do you think they want to see at Disney World, Joshua or Cooper DeJean?
Well, probably Cooper DeJean. Well, I don't know why you would say that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I
Elliot's just uncomfortably sitting there. Can you laugh a little bit? I mean, loosen
up, pal.
Well, I'm
just trying to wait.
Yeah.
You looked at me. I was laughing. You didn't hear that chuckle out of me?
All business all the time, no. Elliot. Yep.
Look, I'm Big J Elliott right now.
Yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
My media credential, I'm working. But no, I do think that, yeah, you're right. Like, losing Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, you can talk about playing Moro Ojomo and Jalix Hunt, and I do think they are good young players that I'm I'm interested to see what they can do. But I don't think Howie Roseman's going to go into next year with Jalix Hunt as a starting defensive end. And so an important thing to note is if they trade for Myles Garrett and pay him a big contract, that does not count like a free agent. So that wouldn't impact their comp formula. So that's, you know, when they say they expect comp picks, that doesn't really impact Myles Garrett at all.
Cool. That is good. Myles Garrett, I don't know, man. That would be awesome. Okay. Before we get to the Saquon stuff, Ken and Cinnaminson, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What up, Ken?
Elliot, I hope you're staying out of trouble in Indianapolis, although it's hard to get into trouble in Indianapolis, so you should be.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's not New Orleans, I'll just put it that.
No, it's not even Cinnaminson, actually. Before I get to the numbers, because Ike and I were—I was thinking the same thing Ike was thinking. So I looked up some of these numbers, and it's actually pretty interesting. Just two things really quickly. I think the reason Nick Sirianni was mad was mainly because the Packers guy used the word used the phrase that he basically said it doesn't entail any skill. So when Nick Sirianni said it was insulting, it was insulting that this guy from the Packers is saying, well, that doesn't require any skill, when Nick knows how hard they practice it and how hard it is to perfect. So I understand where he's coming from.
Heard those comments before he went out there, too.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. If I heard him, and you know, I'm not a coach in the NFL, then I'm sure Nick heard him.
Well, I don't know. He could have been busy now, and I don't know if he's listening to the.
And then you mentioned that Troy Vincent categorizing it in the same category as the hip drop. Ironic that there were zero hip drop penalties called in 2024 in the NFL. So I'm not really sure that's a great example for Troy Vincent to be using, since they put a rule into place that was never enforced one time in the NFL in 2024.
You could also suggest that players did it less, and that could be a reason why it was called less.
I just think it's impossible to enforce, so that's why it wasn't called.
On the
numbers, so according to the NFL, from 2017 to 2022, just regular quarterback sneak was successful at an 83.6% rate. Also according to the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Buffalo Bills have combined for 163 pushes. And I don't know that the Bills call it the tush-push, but neither do the Eagles. But the Eagles and the Bills, who are two biggest practitioners of that play, have combined for 163 of those in the last three seasons at an 87% rate. So that's, what, a 3%?
Slightly better, yeah. Slightly better,
right?
Yeah.
So slightly better. The Eagles in 2024 converted 28 out of 34, which is 82%, which is less. Right?
Okay.
Now, we know that with the Eagles, in particular, there were times this year where, you know, they ran it in succession. Like, they got down to the goal line, they ran it on second down, it didn't score. They ran it on third down, they scored. And the one that doesn't score counts as a failed push. So even if you use the 87% success rate that comes from those two teams, and you extrapolate that out to 34 tush-push attempts for the Eagles in a season, that 3.5% difference comes out to one play. One play that otherwise would have been a first down or a touchdown that doesn't work because they banned the tush-push, and so now the Eagles are just going with the traditional quarterback sneak. And what these teams are really trying to do, and this is what the point is, the point is not the tush-push. The point is that Nick Sirianni is very aggressive going for it on fourth and one, basically anywhere from, you know, his own 45 all the way down to the goal line.
Hell, I would say, Ken, I would say depending on time of the game, it could be for his own 35 to 40-yard line he might decide to do it.
I'm just talking about, you know, just typical circumstances. Not, So if they ban the tush-push, it's not like Nick Sirianni is going to say, well, geez, we're not going for it on fourth and one anymore. They're still going to do that. So they just won't be able to do the tush-push anymore.
Well, they were a lot less aggressive. They were mid-pack this year in going for it on fourth down compared to the rest of the teams in the NFL. So previously they were very aggressive going for it on fourth down. This year, not nearly as aggressive as they have been.
Because we got the analytics department out of the way.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but some of that might have been him listening to you guys crying about taking the points, right?
Not me. That's
Ike. He was listening to me, yeah.
Yeah, that's
Ike. Well, they won a Super Bowl. I want everyone.
They won us a Super Bowl, Ken.
Once they got the analytic dorks out of the way, yeah.
We're on the same page on this one, Ken. Rarely, but it happens.
Yeah, you're both wrong.
Okay. All right,
so
Ken.
I guess overall, just the point is that It really does feel like, you know, these coaches are targeting the Eagles. I mean, Sean McDermott is the second biggest practitioner over the NFL, and he's saying it's unsafe. So what does that say to his own offensive lineman about what he cares about their health, right? Like, hey, I'm telling the league this is unsafe, but, you know, you go out and do this.
Like, I'm actually surprised at Sean.
It did seem like a weasel move.
Well, I'm just, as much as he uses it, how are you against it?
Maybe he doesn't want to use it.
Well, they can't do it. They were the one that messed up in the playoffs.
Well, they do it pretty well.
They did it pretty good, though. Yeah, Josh Allen's a big guy now.
I mean, we didn't have a ton of success against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It didn't mean we couldn't do it. You know, we had a bad game. They just had a bad game doing it. So
the last piece of it, too, is you know, how ugly the play is. You know, as soon as somebody comes up with an aesthetically pleasing quarterback sneak, I'm dying to see it. Because whether it's a push or not, it's just a massive humanity, you know, trying to move the ball 1 yard in one direction or the other. So there's nothing aesthetically pleasing about a quarterback sneak inherently. So that's all nonsense. Like, it really is these teams that are targeting the Eagles and you know, trying to find something that they can they're trying to gain some kind of competitive advantage, like, you know, psychologically. Like, we're going to take this away from you. Because the numbers suggest it's not really that big of a difference.
I thought that's the point you were trying to make when you gave me all those numbers. You're saying that it isn't as much of a difference as people try to make it out.
It's not
to be.
It's really
got you.
And this is the NFL's numbers, so I'm not. You
well,
know,
I hear you.
I do think they have a mental advantage with that play. I think that is,
that is
numbers
true.
Aside. So, and thank you for the call, Ken.
That is true.
Yeah, I think like when you break down, even when you break down baseball players, the difference between a 275 hitter and a 295 hitter over half a season, not really that many hits, mm-hmm. right? But if you know that a play is difficult to stop, I think the Eagles have a significant mental advantage with the tush-push.
No
the other
doubt.
Team goes into it thinking, oh, jeez.
Oh, here they go, the damn tush-push.
Right.
Yep.
I also think the Eagles on the offense have that advantage as well. Because you're right. I think when the defense lines up, they think to themselves, we're not going to stop this. But I think Nick is able to be so aggressive in certain situations because they themselves also feel like when that play is lined up. I mean, I've been, you know, the stadium goes crazy when they get into formation. Like, it's a thing. So I do think there's an advantage as well for the offense there.
We will talk about Saquon right after Jack talks about the great folks at National Appliance Warehouse.
The best.
Come
actually,
on.
My parents actually went down to National Appliance.
Whoa, did they tell him Fritz sent you? Or did they say we're Fritz? Or how does that even happen?
How does that work?
Yeah. They pulled the big card. They said, hey, do you know who I am?
Yes.
And a whole bunch of confetti fell from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And listen, they experienced what I've been telling you for over a year about National Appliance Warehouse, and it's just different there. They have great savings events like the President's Day Mega Sale that has been extended at National Appliance Warehouse. It's their biggest savings event of the year, so get down and experience what I've been preaching here for over a year about National Appliance Warehouse. So they have the President's Day Mega Sale. They're also in tax-free Delaware, but on top of that, they also have Price Assure, which is a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store if it finds a lower price elsewhere. On top of that, you're going to get the right appliance for you. Over 100 brands in their 15,000 square foot showroom from sub-zero to budget, and you're going to get a great experience. You walk into National Appliance Warehouse, you truly feel like you're a part of their family, and they're also pretty dang knowledgeable about their job as well. They also includes delivery and installation. So go to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
Even if you are a Fritz, as
yeah,
we found out.
Exactly right.
So somebody asked Nick Sirianni, Elliot, today about Saquon Barkley's workload. I was actually surprised. We got a question not about his hometown or his high school or whatever. Here is what he said about Saquon's workload.
We do everything we can do to win each and every game. And a lot of times this year, that meant Saquon carrying it 20, 25 times. And that also is the case of what kind of game you're in, right? If you're in a game where you're in a four-minute game, you're going to keep pounding the ball to run the clock through and still be aggressive. But you handle and the maintenance of it, and Saquon handles the maintenance of it throughout the week. You know, Saquon had a couple more carries and a little bit more of a load this game. All right, how are we going to manage him throughout the week? Well, that's going to be the same thing through OTAs. That's going to be the same thing through training camp. And that will be the same thing we go through it. And when we get to game one, we're going to do everything we can do to win that game. And if that's him carrying it 20 times, then he'll do that. If it's going to be he carries it one time, we'll do that too. It probably won't be one. We're going to give it to him more than that. But we'll do that as well. And so, but it, there's so many good people in our organization that help with that process of not only with Saquon, but with our entire team of making sure that they have the right workload week in, week out to be ready to play on Sundays.
I understand what he's saying, Ellie, about doing what it takes to win that particular game. But I also think if that's, I think it's a little bit short-sighted in that my guess would be they will go into games with the plan to use him a little bit less. As Ike said last week, certainly in the first maybe 4 to 6 games of the year and ramp him up. But I would hesitate if I'm them to say, you know, by game two, they're like, well, Saquon works again. I just like, I keep...
Or if nothing else is working and they have to give him the ball.
Yes, I would almost say that is on them to maybe figure out the other stuff as mm-hmm. best as they can and not fall into this trap. Yeah. And the only reason I say that is because looking at those numbers of those backs after
no
that,
doubt.
It just, we're begging for an injury or something.
Or, no doubt.
You know, or even the players that didn't get injured, you know, you see Eddie George's yards per carry drop mm-hmm. to 3, and I think it was
DeMarco Murray.
Ricky Williams, his yards per carry dropped mm-hmm. to. So do you, I guess, Elliot, it's not so much a question as to what do you think about what he said about doing whatever it takes, even giving it to him as much as they have to get a win.
So I think he has to say that, obviously. I do think they go into games hoping not to use him as much. I think when the doing whatever it takes to win thing comes into play is midway through the third quarter, if the only way to win the game is to give it to Saquon, like that's when you kind of have to throw out the plan. But going into this year, I do think a difference could be, A, to your point, the numbers are the numbers. The Eagles are an analytically driven team. They're aware of this. So I think they will know going into the year they have to maybe be way easier on them in training camp, again, earlier in the year.
Yep.
But I think the other part of it, easier training camp practice, like I've always said.
I'm okay with it for Saquon.
There we go. Yeah. All right. The other part of it, though, is Will Shipley. Like, they like Will Shipley. They, you know, obviously spent all last year developing him. We'll see if Kenny Gainwell is back, but I do think their excitement about Will Shipley could make it easier, you know, not to go into a game where maybe you're giving Will Shipley 8 touches as opposed to Kenny Gainwell was getting, you know, 3 or 4 or whatever. But ultimately, it'll come down to like in the fourth quarter if they have to give him the ball. And I just don't think that because he got so many touches last year in the fourth quarter, Nick's going to sit there and go, well, no, go to Shipley. Like, it'll be about Shipley early in games and doing that way and then seeing what you have to do in the fourth.
And the quarterback throws the ball a little bit better. The pass game is better next year.
Well,
hopefully,
that's part of it too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you think they like Shipley enough. Do you think they would look at a running back in the free agent? In the free agent class, not a $12 million a year guy, but maybe a level or two below that. But do you think they would look at that for next year?
I think it's more likely they'll look for someone in the draft, and then they'll go Saquon, Shipley, and a rookie in the draft. They do have Tyrion Davis-Price, who was a former high pick, was on the practice squad all last year. They brought him back on a futures contract. I think he certainly is going to have to earn a roster spot, so I'm not saying he's part of their plans, but I don't think you'll see them spend on any type of like real running back in free agency. I think it's more likely they would draft somebody like maybe in the 4th or 5th round or something like that.
Now, Elliot, you were the one that asked Joe Shane about Saquon, right? That was you?
Yep.
Look at him. He is going for Insider of the Year.
Man.
Why don't you break
Giants
that?
Giants Insider of the Year.
Why don't you break that freaking Nick Sirianni extension? Break it so we can give
I'm
you
trying.
The award. All right.
I'm trying.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Here's what Joe Shane said.
Saquon walking free agency. How do you view that? And do you regret not re-signing him?
Yeah, I'm happy for Saquon. Obviously, he went on to win the Super Bowl, and we're wishing nothing but the best. Always going to evaluate all the decisions you make, and we were at a different place in our build. And again, love Saquon and wish him nothing but the best.
He got out of there as quick as possible.
Do you think he got the thank you card from Buzz and from Philadelphia?
Oh, I should have asked him.
Yes.
That would have been good. I should have asked him.
That wasn't signed by 300 Eagles fans, signed by far fewer.
Not likely signed card.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to let it go at all. All right, Elliot, before we let you go, you know,
Show time to shine, kid!
Well, I mean, the Sixers season came crumbling down here, and as you celebrate the downfall of one of the greatest players.
And the first one to say Joel was cooked.
That's what I'm saying. As you celebrate the downfall of one of the greatest players in franchise history. Do you want to take a little victory lap here?
Well, look, I don't want to dance on anyone's grave. I did take some joy seeing you tweet out Joel is cooked. Like that did feel good. But
he must have said what you said word for word. Elliot.
I don't think I
no,
tweeted.
You did. Well, you wrote something.
Ricky did.
Well, I don't always tweet from the Ricky account. Just, likely excuse. No, it's CJ.
Sure, whatever. You can make up people. I got you.
He's our producer.
Man, my ass.
Yeah. Wow. Honestly, at this point, though, like, who cares about Joel? His career is over. It's sad. Wow. He's a great player, but his career is done. I want you to admit Paul George is cooked.
He's not.
He's absolutely cooked. I tried to tell you Joel was cooked. I'm telling you Paul George is cooked. Tell me why he's not cooked.
Well, because here's what's true about Paul George. Complete loser energy. He had an opportunity as a great scorer to win the team. He couldn't have saved the season. I don't think anybody's going to save the season. Maxie didn't. Nobody saved the season. But he certainly could have dug deep, and he certainly could have taken more offensive load on himself, and he chose not to do that. What I saw happen, and this is what people warned me with Paul George, Clippers fans, they're like, you know, when things aren't tough, when things are tough, he's not the guy. And that's true. He has been, he's clearly front runner guy, clearly has no desire to step up and become a guy that can help them. However, like, as far as being cooked, I think if the team was good, he'd be good. And I think he would be good on another team. He doesn't look cooked physically to me at all, actually. He just looks uninterested, which to me is actually way more disappointing than being cooked. I don't think he's cooked. You know, Clippers fans are saying he had a good year last year, and they say he looks exactly the same. So I don't think he's cooked, but I do think he's a loser, to be honest with you.
So to me, though, part of being cooked is that because he has all this money, he just doesn't care anymore, right? So. Yeah. You can say that's what he was last year, but they paid him to be something he is not. So
that's true, but that's different than Cooked to me. Cooked is what Joel is.
Here's the difference. I think the sad thing is it's not going to happen. Like, they're not going to compete next year. But let's just say in a miracle world, Joel is himself next year. Maxie's awesome. Like, I think Paul George doesn't have it in him to be the guy they wanted him to be, because there were times early in the season where he could have been that guy. So I do get your point that it is maybe an emotional or like a mental thing. But that to me is part of being cooked.
Well, that's what I'm disagreeing with you on. I'm disagreeing with you on the physical part of it. I'm not. He doesn't. When I hear cooked. What I do is I think about where Joel is right now. Now, you say they're not going to compete next year. Would you say that's because Tyrese Maxey is not good enough to be the best player on a championship team?
No, I don't think you can say that yet. Tyrese Maxey.
Well, then why aren't they going to compete next year?
Because they have $120 million in dead money in Joel and Paul George every night going lining up on the court. Maxie, you're right. Maxie has had disappointing elements to his season. But I never said Maxie could go out and carry a team that has two players every night. Well, that's true. If you want to talk about building around Maxie, it's tough to build around any player that has $120 million
in
dead money.
You told me you were going to give me a team that was built around Maxie that could compete for a championship without a player better than Maxie. And that was 3 months ago. Have you put that team together yet?
No, I'm still working on it.
Okay, all right.
He had a Super Bowl to win in Spike.
Yes, that's a good point. But congratulations on being right about Embiid, though. Congratulations on saying that the player that's always injured was going to be injured this year.
Well, you're the one that said he was going to be fine. So
I didn't say he was going to be fine. I didn't say
you should diminish that point.
But here's
what I would say to wrap this up.
Like, yes.
What player on the Sixers has the best chance to be the best player on a title team from here on out? And that's clearly Maxey.
Well, but that doesn't mean he can do it.
No, but what my point was when we had this was it's not Joel. Joel's days, and I said this months ago, Joel's days of being the best player in a championship team are over.
You're right.
So Maxie is their best chance. That was my point, and that's still correct.
But best chance doesn't mean that there is a chance.
But it's the best chance.
Okay.
It is. You want to bring up what I said. That's what I said.
Their best chance is actually to trade Tyrese Maxey to try to get a player who will be the best player on a championship team.
But only because Joel is such dead money. That's only why.
Well, and because Tyrese Maxey will never be the best player on a championship team. He can't.
And neither will Joel.
Well, but all right.
What we got into.
Paul George has to stop saying he's a Kobe guy. That's all I need to know. He needed to change his jersey number.
Out.
Yeah. Yes, like, this is my point.
Completely undisrespected to Mamba.
Totally. And
Paul George has to go.
Right. Right. I always defend when I bring up Kobe. It's only out of respect of Kobe.
I'm with you on this one. Yeah. Some guys take a little bit of advantage of this.
Exactly right.
Now, I can't hang up on Elliot. Can you turn his thing down?
I don't know. He's kind of cooking
right now. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah. Like the Paul George quote last night when he said, like, they have no championship attitude. That's a direct reflection on Joel, by the way. Like when he says they don't have championship habits,
but he's a loser too.
Joel.
Yeah, that, then and
that's fine. Here's but they're the
thing,
both losers.
But I agree. But here's the thing: a player who's never playing, I don't care how good his attitude is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how great Joel's attitude is. He's not playing. So a player that plays, you know, 19 out of 56 games, I don't care how good his attitude is. It doesn't matter. It's on par.
But I think we're seeing attitude does matter when they're losing by 50 points. Like they have a
the attitude of Tyrese Maxey. All right. Well, I'll talk to you when you get
good
back.
Times.
All right. There he is.
Or just focus on championship. And I know you have to squint a little, but
yes,
feel like this group can still do that.
That is Daryl's gold standard. It's his gold standard moment. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Should the NFL ban the tush push? We need a new question. 95% say no. Coming up next, we will talk about tush push. We'll also talk about Myles Garrett. Jeremy Fowler talked about the Eagles' chances at Myles Garrett. We'll talk about that next. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.